Morant with a running start. Elevates. Oh, it dunks. Oh, my goodness. Jonathan. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's good. Memphis on top. 17
for me. Now a three.
Count it. A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what, a little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow in.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish. We are in off-season mode over here, gearing up for the NBA draft, which happens at the end of July. But very excitedly, the NBA draft lottery will be held this Tuesday. There are no scenarios where the Grizzlies are involved in the lottery. Their first-round pick is the 17th pick. It will not change no matter what. Very interestingly, the team picking directly ahead of the Grizzlies in the NBA draft changed in the last couple of days as the Boston Celtics, who had the 16th pick, traded that pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, this trade where the Celtics sent Kemba Walker and the 16th pick for Al Horford and Moses Brown. There were also some second-round picks involved. This trade theoretically might affect the Grizzlies because the Celtics did this trade to get rid of Kemba Walker's contract and to lower their salary for this year and in upcoming seasons. They're going to be battling the luxury tax, and they were facing a very high luxury tax bill. And the reason I say it might affect the Grizzlies, because in last week's episode, my most previous episode, where I detailed a list of free agents that I think would be worth it for the Grizzlies to pursue, I personally think Evan Fournier would be a very nice fit on the Grizzlies, a team that needs, I think, a clear-cut starter on the wing. And I do think in the event that the Grizzlies move some of their players, that was the caveat with the whole thing. In the event, maybe you trade away Grayson Allen or you have a little bit more clarity on the wing, Evan Fournier seemed like a nice option, someone who could play the two or the three with Dylan Brooks or with Desmond Bane, provide some shooting, some secondary playmaking, provide scoring, I thought would be a very good fit. I thought also his contract wouldn't be that expensive, would be someone you wouldn't mind paying, and the contract that you gave him probably wouldn't hurt the team down the line. This trade that the Celtics made, they did it presumably to try to keep Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier is an unrestricted free agent, so he could go wherever he wants to, sign whatever contract he wants, but most people think their analysis of the deal is this gives the Celtics financial flexibility moving forward with their team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but it also lowers their luxury tax bill for this season where they could make a competitive offer, and if Evan Fournier wants to stick around, which you can imagine he would. He probably thinks of the Celtics as a very good playoff team that he's had to face for a long time when he was on the Magic, and being on them sounds appealing, and playing alongside Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown maybe sounds really good to him. But I thought that trade did, at least it affected my world of the Grizzlies, where I was dreaming where an Evan Fournier deal would make sense. So some feedback to some of the free agent targets that I named. You know, there's talk of it doesn't move the Grizzlies up a level. And that's true. I identified, and please go back and listen to the episode, you know, so you can get all the details, but basically everyone identified, you're not moving the Grizzlies up into that top four in the West. There are no free agent deals you can make that will get you above the Jazz and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Suns and the Nuggets. The Grizzlies' hopes for advancing past those teams in the next coming seasons are all on the development of Ja Morant and of Jaren Jackson Jr. and of other players be it Desmond Bane or Dylan Brooks or Xavier Tillman or Brandon Clark or D'Anthony Melton, these guys getting better, or the 17th pick in this year's draft, or the 51st pick in this year's draft, the Grizzlies' hopes for improving and becoming, you know, a team in the Western Conference that can compete for home court advantage is the young players keep getting better. And then maybe, you know, your draft pick, you hit on your draft pick. And in that case, I think being smart with your free agency this year and adding a proven starter to add to your depth or to clarify your depth to make it less who should we play, Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen, or, you know, D'Anthony Melton, Evan Fournier, he's better. Let's play him. Or Norm Powell, or Gary Trent Jr., or whoever you might think they should add. Gary Trent Jr. is a guy who actually is probably more of a depth piece. He's not clearly starter material in the NBA right now. And that's the weird spot the Grizzlies are going to be in when they go into free agency, if they do much of anything. And again, I'm leaning that they probably don't do a whole lot. I would be in favor of them chasing some of those guys I named in the last episode. If you can add another good, solid wing player to provide shooting and scoring on a reasonable contract, I don't think that hurts you in any way. That's something that you just need to do. And if Ja takes another leap, if Jaren takes the leap that he showed a couple seasons ago, or the promise that he showed, if he can fulfill that promise, then having solid veteran wings, if it is a Reggie Bullock or a Doug McDermott or somebody, I think just giving you a little bit of depth. I think another thing to consider, since the caveat for all the free agency talk is, you know, who are we going to trade? Or will there be a trade, a consolidation move to get rid of some of the players who are playing? Because right now you have a bunch of guys who expect to play. And even if you go 10 deep in the regular season, you have more than 10 guys who are going to expect to play. And I don't think we'll be happy getting DNPs. I don't think Brandon Clark wants any part of DNPs. I don't think Xavier Tillman does either. The player who you draft in the first round, if the Grizzlies do in fact use their pick, the 17th pick, he's going to want to play, and as fans, we're going to want him to play to get experience. If the Grizzlies don't move anybody, you have Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Grayson Allen, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, D'Anthony Melton, Xavier Tillman Sr., Tyus Jones, and then your first-round pick this year, the 17th pick, that's 12 guys. I almost feel it's irresponsible to carry that many guys if you could trade them for value. When I look at it that way, like, the Grizzlies don't need to have 12 players who are all competent, good rotation pieces who you want to play, especially ones who are on expiring deals. It probably makes sense for the Grizzlies to see if they can move them. And because of that, I would not be surprised if Tyus Jones gets moved for something. I'm not saying it's likely, and I'm not saying I would do it. I just would not be surprised. Your best player is Ja Morant. In big games, he's going to play most of the minutes. He's going to play over 40 minutes a game. In the regular season, it's incredible to have a backup point guard like Tyus Jones, who you can let play, you know, 12, 14, 16 minutes to rest Ja Morant. But because Tyus Jones cannot play that well alongside Ja Morant, they're way too small, and neither one of them is a good enough shooter, I think, despite Tyus shooting 38% from three in the previous season, where if you can't play together and you already have this bevy of wings who you need to get playing time for, if someone offered you something decent for Tyus Jones, I think you'd probably need to accept that offer if you can build your team in other ways. And then you go about finding another backup point guard, maybe one with a little bit more size who could play alongside Ja Morant. Maybe you'll draft a point guard to develop. I don't know much about the draft prospects, if there's anyone who fits that description kind of in that draft range. And if you would, if it's a good use of your resources to draft, again, a ball handler when you know Ja Morant is going to be your big ball handler. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tyus Jones got traded. If you've listened to this podcast very much, you know I'd be in favor of them trading Grayson Allen just because I think Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton are much stronger options, and I would rather those guys get the playing time. If you got something for Grayson Allen, if someone valued him, a guy who showed he could knock down three-pointers and he could score in a regular NBA rotation, you know, maybe you can get a little bit of an asset from there. But repeating myself, if you don't move any of these guys, it's hard to daydream about making many free agent moves. One move that I think is big, a big trade move that is on a lot of Grizzlies fans' minds, just because we've been watching the playoffs and the Philadelphia 76ers just got eliminated to the 5-seed Hawks, and Ben Simmons was abysmal in this series. He only made 34% of his free throws in the entire postseason. After the game, it felt like Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid kind of threw him under the bus a little bit. All that to set up, Ben Simmons' stock has never been lower. I mentioned him last week. That's an enticing guy. It's an intriguing guy. I'm definitely spooked by the playoff performance and him shirking from the big stage, him refusing to shoot in fourth quarters and not being very, very involved. But this guy's a multiple-time All-Star. He's got a unique skill set. He's an all-defense type player. He finished second in the Defensive Player of the Year vote. He's over 6 feet, 10 inches tall. I mean, he averages, you know, 15, 8, and 8. The Sixers, if they are intent on moving him, should the Grizzlies get involved in trying to bring him on? He has a massive contract. He's got 4 years left at a full max. In four seasons, he's going to be making $40 million a year. So should the Grizzlies try to trade for him? Let's think about the rubric we talked about last week. We can use the free agent one and also the should we trade for this guy one. The free agent one was, does he provide scoring and shooting? No. I mean, maybe scoring, but does he provide shooting? No, not at all. Goodness, no. Does he provide wing size and defense? Oh my goodness, yes. Absolutely so. Does he help in half-court offense? That one is a little bit tougher. If you watch just the fourth quarter of this Hawks-Sixers playoff series, no. You know, you'd think definitely no. Could he help the Grizzlies' half-court offense? Maybe. I think so. Let's go to the should we trade for this guy questions I was going through in previous episodes. Does he fit with Ja Morant? That's the huge one. That's the main one. That's the big one. I think he can, yes. The glaring, obvious problem is neither one of them are very good at shooting. And that might be an understatement. Ben Simmons cannot shoot the basketball. But if Ben Simmons operates as a big, a defensive-only big who can also handle the ball, who also can play your backup point minutes, all right, that's kind of interesting. I think Ja Morant, Ben Simmons pick and rolls would be incredibly tough to guard. But you wouldn't even have to run offense for Ben Simmons. I think playing him as a front court player where he's not supposed to be your starting point guard, if you already have a starting point guard and then you can surround them with shooting, that is something that's very enticing to me, and it's interesting and it's unique and different and maybe could be a path worth pursuing. Is it too radical or risky? Perhaps. Can Ben Simmons play alongside Ja and Jaren? That's the next level of trying to figure out if you should trade for somebody. I think certainly yes. The Ja and Ben Simmons together is like, all right, I don't know, but like a Ben Simmons, Jaren Jackson Jr. front court? Yeah, that's really cool. There are some issues. You need Jaren to stay out of foul trouble. Could he play alongside Jonas Valanciunas? Ben Simmons, that is? Not really. I wouldn't do that, no. Then you run into the issues the Sixers faced. Not having enough shooting. Embiid is a much better floor spacer, honestly, than Jonas Valanciunas is. Embiid made incredible strides on his shooting this season. But if you think about a Grizzlies of the future, could you have a front court rotation like the four bigs you play, would they be, if they're Ben Simmons with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, those four guys playing all your 4 or 5 minutes? I like that a lot. Maybe rim protection and rebounding would be the weaknesses. Maybe it's too fanciful to dream of, but if there's this feeling in the 76ers front office that they need to move him, that he's overpaid, and they'd rather trade him for a discount because they wanted to get off his salary, that is the instance where I think you would get involved as the Grizzlies. I do think the fit is too risky to start shelling out your future assets to say, hey, here's the 2024 Golden State pick, and here's one of our own first-round picks. I don't think it's worth trading multiple first-round picks. For me, like I've said before, it has to be a perfect, clean fit if I'm going to open up the treasure chest of future draft picks. But if it's something less, then I have to think about it, because how else are you adding an all-star to this unit? And even though it could be a strange fit, you're telling me Taylor Jenkins wouldn't want to have both Ben Simmons and Ja Morant to push the pace, to play defense, and then to go to maybe play smaller ball where Ben Simmons is your five? I think Ben Simmons, alongside another brilliant passer, could make some really interesting basketball. And if you found enough shooting, you probably need more shooting. Just Jaren out there and Desmond Bane, or just Dylan Brooks and Jaren, is not going to be enough floor spacing, probably. But I'm intrigued by it. So the negatives are, you know, what we saw in this playoffs. Is he going to be overpaid? The overpaid question, I care about less. I don't think there's going to be an issue having to trade Ben Simmons in the future if you got him. And also, the Grizzlies salary cap sheet is so clean, it doesn't bug me that much. Getting a flawed all-star, that's maybe the price of doing business in a smaller market. I mean, the Grizzlies last season, the Grizzlies paid $43 million to Gorgui Dieng, Justice Winslow, and Dion Waiters. The previous season, the Grizzlies paid $13 million to Miles Plumlee, $13 million to Dion Waiters, and then Winslow and Gorgui Dieng. I mean, that's like $56 million for guys who barely played for you. So paying an all-star or a near all-star $35 million, that's nothing as far as NBA salaries go. So the next question would be, what would make the deal work? You don't have to match the salary exactly in the offseason because the Grizzlies can get some salary cap space. I mean, maybe you would ask the Sixers, do you want a Justice Winslow? Like, you could match the salaries if you traded Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, and Justice Winslow, and then would one pick? Then you come to the, do the Sixers just want to get rid of the contract or get something for his contract to open up some flexibility? I doubt they're there. And there are probably better trades they could make. I am not so convinced that the fit is perfect on the Grizzlies that I would include things I really, really valued. I mean, I would probably give up, if pressed, one of Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, or Desmond Bane. But I'm not including multiple of them. I, right now, as the Grizzlies, I'm very happy. I'm very happy with this, like, basic core of, like, seven players. Ja, Jaren, Melton, Bane, Brooks, Clark, and Tillman. I'm not in any rush to get rid of those guys. Those guys, plus whoever you can draft the next couple years, I'd rather see what they're going to be before I start giving them away in trades. Maybe I would part with one of them if it could bring in a guy like Ben Simmons. But I thought it was a fun mental exercise to go through it, because it's something I feel like we think about. And when these opportunities arise, when a player whose value has depressed enough and you're still like, but that guy's an all-star and that guy could fit with our team, we could make a ferocious defense perhaps and an attacking offense that, if you got enough shooting on the court with them, could be really tough to deal with. You know, maybe you think about it. Maybe you think about being a little unorthodox and calling up Daryl Morey and the Sixers and being like, what would it take? What would it take to give Ben Simmons a change of scenery? I mean, I know as fans, we always overvalue our own guys, and we tend to cling on to them and project the best for them. But the odds of Jaren Jackson Jr. being better than Ben Simmons as far as like an NBA career, it's kind of low, right? We all certainly hope Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to make a bunch of All-Star games. And maybe if you asked an unbiased observer, like what's the over-under on All-Star games Jaren Jackson Jr. makes for the rest of his career, maybe they would say like 1.5 or 2, like Ben Simmons has. I think he has 2 All-Star games, I'm pretty sure. So it's weird to outright dismiss, like, no, I don't want Ben Simmons on my team, because he's a good basketball player, despite some flaws that were very, very apparent in this series where the Sixers lost. So it's a fun mental exercise. I mean, you're telling me you wouldn't go nuts for a Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Ben Simmons, Jaren Jackson Jr. lineup? Just getting up and down the court? As long as they could get out in transition, they'd be all right. Half court might be a mess. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and then I have a couple of news items to wrap up the show. All right, Desmond Bane was named to the all-rookie second team. He finished 7th in the voting. The first team was LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Sadiq Bey, Jayshon Tate. The second team was Emmanuel Quickley, who had the 6th most points, Desmond Bane, who had the 7th most points in the voting, and the other three guys on the second team were Isaiah Stewart, Isaac Okoro, and Patrick Williams. Xavier Tillman did receive some votes. He received 4 second-team votes, which put him, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th in the all-rookie voting. Desmond Bane is just the 3rd Grizzlies player in the Memphis era to make the all-rookie second team. It's a fun little trivia question. The other two, who are the other two Memphis Grizzlies players to make the all-rookie second team beside Desmond Bane? Mark Gasol and Juan Carlos Navarro. You go back to the Vancouver days, our boy Bryant Big Country Reeves, the first draft pick in franchise history, made the all-rookie second team. Lots of Grizzlies rookies have made the all-rookie first team throughout the years. Obviously, last season, Ja Morant and Brandon Clark both did it. Jaren Jackson Jr. did it in 2019. Then go back to OJ Mayo, Rudy Gay, Shane Battier, and Pau Gasol on the same year. And then we go again to Vancouver. You got Mike Bibby and Sharif Abdur-Rahim. Having a lot of all-NBA rookies or first-team rookies isn't always the best, because a lot of times that means you're drafting high players in the draft and then giving them lots of minutes and opportunity, which frequently means you're not a very good team. But the Grizzlies have had their fair share of success with these rookies, and obviously, you know, the last couple of years, they are ascending very, very nicely. Another news about Desmond Bane is, originally, it was reported or thought he was going to play in the Olympics for Team Nigeria. As far as I can tell, he is not going to, although that is not firm. I haven't found a explicit denial or affirmation that he's going to play, but there have been several names that have been confirmed that are going to play for Team Nigeria, which is going to be training, I think, in San Diego. Mike Brown is going to be coaching that squad. They have several NBA players on the team. They're going to be scrimmaging Team USA in Vegas in July. I haven't heard any word that Desmond Bane, though, is going to play, even though it was thought he was going to. And on Team Canada, both Dylan Brooks and Brandon Clark are not going to participate. That's what's been reported so far, that those guys are not going to play with Team Canada in the lead up to the Olympics and play in the Olympics in Tokyo. Team Canada has a lot of potential NBA stars. I mean, honestly, who could be playing with their squad, but not many of them have elected to play. It seems like it would be a good opportunity I mean, for Brandon Clark ending the year with those DNPs, you know, to play some international basketball, get some competitive reps in some high pressure environments, possibly. Dylan Brooks, you know, to play with some other good players and get some more experiences that aren't just being the spiritual leader of the Grizzlies. But they, all those players, it seems like they're not going to play. I would almost conjecture that the Grizzlies have encouraged them not to play. I mean, we feel like the Grizzlies have been pretty forward thinking and or conservative about load management and, you know, making sure their guys are all rested. And perhaps they encourage them not to put their bodies through this. Perhaps they encourage them to say, hey, we need an offseason. You guys need a regular NBA offseason. It's not going to be as short as it was last year, but it's going to be a shortened offseason once again, because the 2021-22 season is going to start on time. So perhaps they were encouraged to not go so they could have as much of the offseason as possible to get in the regular NBA rhythm and get all the training and rest and whatever else they need. Perhaps these players, after experiencing the second half of the Grizzlies' schedule, like the post All-Star game, second half of the schedule, where there were so many games where the Grizzlies played more games than anyone else, you know, just them and the Spurs had more games than everybody else. Maybe after that, the guys needed a break. And so that's why they're not being involved with the Olympics. But anyway, that's all I have for you on this Monday. Curious what everybody else thinks about a potential Ben Simmons blockbuster. I know it's incredibly unlikely, but it's a fun fan exercise to try to imagine what it would take and to imagine would it indeed work. Anyway, thanks you guys for listening to this episode. Hope you guys have a good one. Go Grizz!